Well, tonight, the book of Revelations, chapter 6. It's good to have each of you back with us. Thankful for each of you that could come back this evening. Had a big crowd this morning for morning services. We're thankful for that. But we're thankful for you that is here tonight, too. I'm just thankful to have somebody to preach to. What we'll do here to begin is we'll be doing a lot of reading this evening. Tonight, we're going to be looking at our focus is going to be the sixth seal. But what I want to do is re-explain the seven-sealed book. That's our subject that we're looking at right now, is we're looking at the seven-sealed book. The seven-sealed book represents our future, a future reign with Christ here on a new heavens and a new earth. But before these great things happen, this book is sealed. And each one of these seals represents events. Events that's going to happen. Some of these are happening and will continue to happen until Jesus comes. So that's what we've been looking at. But let me go ahead and explain it to you. The first seal in this book represents false religion. It was represented by a white horse. Just about anybody will tell you that. They just put it in different places. But there'll be false religion. And that's the reason why you need to know your Bible. Everybody in the house agree? You need to search things out and see it for yourself. The Bible talks about being a good Berean. It says they received the word with readiness of mind. Then they searched the scriptures to see whether it's so. That's all I ask you to do. And when I give you verses and things, the reason why I give you that is that's the evidence for what I believe. And if you see it, what it gives you is convictions. And that's what you need to have. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to know scripture and verse for it. You don't need to believe things just because I believe. You need to believe things because that's what you see in God's Word. Okay? So the first one was false religion. And do we have false religion today? Have we always had false religion? It goes all the way back. And we'll continue to have that till who comes? Till Jesus comes. It's going on right now. We're not waiting on this first seal to happen. I mean, one of the keys to interpreting the book is noticing clear texts that are being fulfilled. And false religion, the white horse, is loose on the earth now. The second one is the red horse, and it was represented by wars and rumors of wars. Are we waiting on that? No, there's always been wars all the way back. And not only wars, but also rumors of wars. That was the picture of the red horse, picture of bloodshed. The black horse was famine, and of course, in this world, we'll have times of famine. All over the world, there's a lack of food. It was presented by a black horse. Beloved, we're blessed here in America because we're called the land of plenty often, but we take it for granted. We take it for granted. In many parts of the world, there is people that are starving. And God has blessed us here. We need to thank. You don't never forget the Lord. One of the things, I believe it was Jacob said, that He is the God that fed me all the days of my life. Think about it. He is the God that fed me all the days of my life. You know who feeds you? God does. And you need to thank Him for that every day. So famine was the black horse. There'll continue to be famines. And there'll continue to be famines till King Jesus sets His kingdom up. The fourth horseman was pestilence, represents pestilence. It was a greenish hue colored horse. It's a picture of death. It's death other than by natural causes, death by disease, death by sickness. Do we have pestilence today? Sure. You see, these are clear fulfillments. So these first four seals are happening, and they've been happening. And they happen upon both saved people and lost people. It's kind of what I would call general tribulation. Not talking about the tribulation period in the future, but a general tribulation that's going on now. We have these things now. These are tribulations. Sickness is a tribulation. Famine is a tribulation. Wars and rumors of wars is a tribulation. False religion is a tribulation. And we are having these things right now. And both saved and lost people are affected by those first four horsemen. Number five was a particular group of people that are persecuted. And that's the fifth seal. That's what we looked at last week. And that's persecution of the saved. And that's always been. And you could actually go all the way back to the garden Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel because his works were righteous, and that's what led to it. It was persecution. It goes all the way back to Cain. And you can look at Israel in the Old Testament. They were a persecuted nation. They're still a persecuted nation. And you can look at the Dark Age. You can look at the apostles in the New Testament. They were a persecuted. They all suffered martyr's death. They all did. And then you can look, of course, there's been different persecutors. The Roman Empire, Rome under the Caesars, was a great persecutor. We know that. They put Christians, remember, they put them in the arena. And they would put like skins on them and they'd let the lions loose on them. They were just a horrible way the Roman Empire treated God's people. Rome under the Caesars persecuted. Rome under the popes also persecuted tremendously, if you know any of their history. One of the popes here recently, I mentioned him last week, I can't remember what his name was. I think it's John Paul. He apologized for the atrocities of their history. He did that. He recognized that the number of people, especially in the Inquisition period, they put to death millions of people. So, false religion, false churches, that's a part of the fifth seal. Do we have them today? Yes. These are clear. That's the problem, is in these seals, many don't view them as clear fulfillments, and they are. You can see these things being fulfilled every day. We have persecution of the Christian. Now, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at the sixth seal. The sixth seal is what we're waiting on to happen. And really what the sixth seal represents is the rapture of the saved. That's what the sixth seal is. In the sixth seal, he's going to take his people out of here. Okay? You got that? Has the sixth seal happened? No, that's what we're waiting to happen, Rick. Y'all see how clearly the first five are. We're waiting on which one? The sixth. The sixth is the rapture of the saved. That's not happened yet. Could that happen tonight? Yes, it could. So the sixth seal is the Lord getting us out. That's what's taking place. He's going to get us out of here. The seventh seal is the destruction of the earth. Because 2 Peter teaches chapter 3 that there will be a judgment by fire. He's going to destroy this world. He's then destroyed it once. He's destroyed it by water. But the next time he destroys it, it's going to be by fire. And that's what we also see, going to see in the book of Revelations. The seventh seal will be over in chapter 8 and chapter 9. And you have, seven seals divided into seven trumpets. An angel comes and blows his trumpet and a judgment falls. Blows the second trumpet and a judgment falls. Third trumpet, judgment falls. All these different, he's plaguing the earth. He's destroying the earth. And fire is the dominant component in this description of this coming. So the seventh seal is divided into seven trumpets. Then we come to the seventh trumpet. Guess what happens? He divides that again and you have seven bowls. And he drops over this bow and wrath falls. It's just a picture. A lot of figurative language. But what it's showing you in the seventh seal is he's destroying this world. Why did he do it? Why is he doing it to such an extreme? He appears to be angry. Why is that? Because of the way it says they shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. Because one of the things he will do is turn all the water to blood. They shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. And thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Because of the way they treated God's people. We talked about in seal number 5, the persecution of God's people. God's people have historically been persecuted. Millions and millions and millions have been put to death on this earth. But you know who's the payback? Our God will pay it back. And one of the reasons why the tribulation, there's such a great judgment in the tribulation, is because of the way that this world has treated God's people. All God's people say it. All right, so what we're going to do tonight is look at the sixth seal. I'm going to do a lot of reading. I get shook when I do a lot of reading, too, because I don't want to lose your attention, because sometimes when you're reading, you lose people's attention. I don't want you to do that this evening. I want you to get every bit of this. Let's go ahead and look in Revelation chapter 6, and let's look at the sixth seal. And let's look at the description of it. And where you have that at is in verses 12 through verse 17. That's what we're going to look at. Then we'll go to Matthew chapter 24. We know we've did that several times, because in the book of Matthew 24, Jesus is preaching and he talks about the same thing. He reveals the same truths in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. All right, let's begin to look at it. So a lot of this is going to be reading. It's going to bring you up to date on everything. I'm going to read every bit of it. Verse 12, "And behold, when he had opened the sixth seal." Now, that's not happened yet. First five are happening, been happening. The sixth one is not. That's what we're waiting on. When the sixth seal happens, here's what's going to happen. He's going to take his people out of here. He's going to take us out before the seventh one, which is destruction. So before all this wrath falls down upon the earth, he says, "Get your people out of there." All God's people said. He'll get them out. And that's the same thing he did in the past. Here's been two previous destructions. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't he? But before he did, what did he do? He got the saved out. He got them out. Y'all remember that. So there's several examples of that you can see in the Scriptures where he makes sure they get safely out. In the days of Noah, God destroyed the world once already. Does everybody know that? He ain't destroyed it by fire yet, but he's done destroyed it by water. The greatest evidence for that is what again? The Bible. Now the fossils are evident of it too, because they find sea fossils on the highest mountain in the middle of the desert. They find seashell fossils. What did they do, swim out there? Well, one day that was covered by water. They find the same things on Mount Everest and the highest mountains in the world. They find seashell fossils. And why is that? Because at one time it was covered by water. But I don't have to find anything to prove that. I don't have to find a seashell fossil to prove that the water was over top of the highest mountains in the world. I got it in Genesis 6 through 9. And the greatest witness is God's Word. If God's Word said there's a worldwide flood, there was a worldwide flood. So he's destroyed it once already. Second time, he's going to destroy it by fire. He's going to destroy it by fire. Okay? All right, let's read now. "And behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake." And when the Bible says a great earthquake, it's a massive. This would have been a massive earthquake that goes on, is going to go on. "And the sun became black as the sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood." Now, that's what's going to happen when the sixth seal begins to take place. First of all, there'll be a great what? A great earthquake. Massive. When the Bible says a great earthquake, it's not overdoing it. It's going to be. And we realize how much destruction an earthquake can cause. Remember that great big massive tsunami we had? That was caused by an earthquake. So it's describes when the sixth seal begins to take place, this event begins to take place, there'll be a great earthquake. And it says the sun will become black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon become as blood. Now, if you darken the sun, what's that? Is that going to affect the moon? Because the moon reflects the light of the sun. So if you darken the sun, it's also going to darken the moon. You say, well, it says it's blood. Blood's also black. Dried blood is black. So that's what he's trying to tell you. When you darken the sun, then that's also going to affect the moon. It's going to be a frightening day when Jesus comes for the lost. There'll be a great earthquake. And then the sun and the moon will also be affected by him coming. It says, verse 13, "The stars of heaven will fall upon the earth." So it's kind of like a barrage falling. But except there'll be stars in the atmosphere that will be falling, hitting the earth. And all this is a sign that he's coming. All this is a sign that he's coming. "And the stars of heaven falling on the earth as a fig tree." It illustrates it like a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. So you shake up a fig tree and you have all these figs falling. That's how this is depicted. All of these things, all these stars of heaven, meteors like hitting the earth, starting to happen. Verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. Now, what would move them out of their place would be the earthquake. Earthquakes move things. So, it's describing the effect of all that in the text. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, and the fig tree cast, as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll. It's going to shake everything up as when it's rolled together. And every mountain and island was moved out of their places. So this is a frightening day right here. I'm going to show you it's used in the Gospels too. And one of the things it says, men's hearts failing them for fear. Because there'll be a lot of people, when these things begin to happen, set in services just like we're setting in tonight. But at the same time, they never did anything about it. They knew all this judgment was coming, but at the same time, they never prepared themselves for it. They have a head knowledge of it, but they don't have a heart knowledge. They've never trusted Jesus. Can you imagine? How many people you think that you know? How many people do you know that are lost but really believe that they need to be saved one of these days? So every day they gamble with their soul that there's going to be an opportunity to do that. How many do you know that that's what? They believe that Jesus is coming too. They believe in hell too. But they never trusted Him. They never trusted Him as their Savior. They actually believe these things, but more of a head knowledge. They just never flee to Jesus for salvation. Now notice the response of the great men on the earth is given here in verses 15. Through 17. Their response is given. Here's all this judgment. See, it's starting to happen. It's beginning to happen. That's some of the signs that it is going to happen. And notice what it says in verse 15. And the kings of the earth. Here's their response to all this judgment beginning to happen. The kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's a fearful time that I've just described. That's what the sixth seal represents. So all of this judgment is getting ready to fall. And I'm not going to deal with this tonight, but I do want to read one thing for you because I don't want to leave you hanging till next week. With all this judgment getting ready to fall, what does the Lord do? He says, now let me get my people out of it. Let me get my people out of there. Now, when you look over at chapter 7 and verse 9, I just wanted to give you this tonight. It says, after I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. Now, watch this, beloved, of all nations. Of all what? Of all nations. And kindreds. All kindreds. That's all families. All families. And people and tongues stood before the throne. Where are they standing at? Standing before the throne. That's the rapture. They've been taken out. They've been taken out here. That's the picture of that in verse 9. They've been taken out. All this judgment's getting ready to fall. It gives you that in chapter 6. Then when you roll into chapter 7, you get down in through the text, you see there's people that's been taken out. He takes His people out in the Listen, He takes His people out in the sixth seal. Because the seventh seal is the judgment of the world by fire. Seventh trumpet. Seven trumpets and seven bowls of wrath will fall. And that's the seventh seal. Verse 9 says, after this I beheld in a great multitude which no man could number of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb. What are they clothed with? White robes. They got on their white raiment. That's the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. They trusted Christ as their Savior. That shows you everybody got there the same way. They didn't get there by their righteousness. They got there by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, God's people say it. Clear as crystal right there. That's why they got on a white robe. You didn't earn that white robe. Jesus earned that white robe. When you trust Him as your Savior, He gives you His righteousness. And they have palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. Salvation to our God which sits on the throne and into the Lamb. So, that's what you see in the text. The sixth seal ends up with us being taken out. So the sixth seal, I believe, is the event of the rapture. The event of the rapture. Now, let's turn to the book of Matthew 24. Let me give you some things there now. I got to do this section spend a little bit extra time in it because I want you to get every drop of it. Matthew chapter 24. Now Jesus describes, of course, the book of Revelation is written by Jesus too. He gave it. He's the one that gave the book. But here in Matthew 24, when He was here on this earth, He described these same things. This isn't the first time He gave these things. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 are all parallel texts. They're all talking about the same thing. And what I want to do now is I want to look at these sections and I want you to see that they're talking about the same thing. So the sixth seal is what again tonight? The sixth seal is the rapture. He gets us out before the seventh seal, which is the destruction. Keep your seal straight and you'll be in good shape with this thing. If you can just keep them separate. If you can just keep them separate and look at each one separately. Okay, now in the book of Matthew chapter 24, this is the same thing that he's talking about in Revelation chapter 6. Matthew chapter 24, notice what it says in verse 29. Now look down at verse 29 when it says, immediately after tribulation of those days. The tribulation of those days, if you look up in the text, is many of the things we've already talked about. False Christ. Verse 9 says, the deliverer yet to be afflicted, famines, earthquakes, etc. All of these. Persecution of the Jewish people, that's also mentioned in the text. All the way down through it. These things are. So immediately after the tribulation of those days, that would be also the tribulation of the first five seals that we've been talking about. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened. Has that happened yet? And the moon turned his blood. No, it hadn't happened yet. The sun will be darkened, the moon turned his blood. Isn't that the same thing we read back in Revelation? Same text, same subject. Of course, Jesus is teaching the whole book, God's Word. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give their light, and the stars from heaven shall fall from heaven, as the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. All the tribes of the earth will do what? Hey, let me ask you guys a question. What are they mourning for? They're not ready. He's coming, and they're not ready. They sit in church services and heard about Him, but yet they have not ready. They don't have on their white robes. They've never trusted Jesus. Okay? Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now I want you to get something here, so stay with me in verse 30. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They shall what? I didn't hear you. They shall what?
See.
They're going to see it. It's not. You ever heard of a secret rapture? Where the Lord comes back and nobody knows what happened? I've seen a movie like that one time. That's not biblical. I mean, when Jesus comes, He's coming with a shout. He's blowing a trumpet. And it's going to be a noisy day the day that Jesus comes. It's not going to be a quiet thing. It's going to be a visible thing, too. It's not only going to be a noisy thing, but it's going to be a visible thing, too. What's what it says, verse 30? Let me remind you of it again. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. He's going to appear. How's He coming? Coming in the clouds, isn't He? That's what He said in Acts. The way He came, He's going to come back again the same way. He's going to come in the clouds. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Why are they mourning again? Not ready. They've heard it, but they've never got ready. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They're going to see it. It's not a secret. It's not a secret because it says they shall see Him. I think it's going to be a visible thing. Not only will they see Him when He comes, but they'll also see Him whenever they're judged for their sin. But they'll see Him all right. Now look at verse 31. What does this sound like to you? And He shall send forth, He's going to send His angels. What are they going to do? When He sends these angels with the great sound of a trumpet. Again, it's talking about the same thing 1 Thessalonians 4 is talking about. Talking about the same thing Revelation 6 is talking about. He's coming with the sound of a trumpet. The trumpet's going to sound. That's the signal that He's coming. And He's going to send His angels with the great sound of a trumpet. And what are they going to do? They're going to gather together His elect from the four winds, that's north, south, east, and west. What's he call the saved here? Elect. That's a Bible word. I'm going to say it one more time. That's a Bible word. The word elect simply means chosen. That's simply what the word means. All you got to do is look it up. So He'll send His angels and they'll gather with the sound of a trumpet and they'll gather together His elect from the four winds. And listen. God's people's in two places. God's people's in two places. Well, God's people on the earth, that's the north, south, east, and west, isn't it? That's four directions here on the earth, north, south, east, and west. Is God's people here on earth today? Yeah. And then He goes on to say, from one end of heaven to the other. From one end of heaven to the other. So He's going to gather all of His people, all His elect, all those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. He's going to gather them all from the north, south, east, and west. And from one end of heaven to the other. So when He comes in the clouds, remember, He's emptying heaven. He's bringing them all with Him. That's why we call that the Happy Reunion Day. He's bringing them with Him. They're with Him now, and when He comes in the clouds, He's bringing them with Him. And then the Bible says the dead in Christ rise first. They're in spirit today, but when Jesus comes again, you have what's called the resurrection of the just. It's called the first resurrection. And Rick, they're going to get a body on that day. A body will never get sick. It's a body like Jesus's. It's a body that will never get sick, a body that will never age, a body that will never die, and a body that will never sin. That's why the Bible says, when you see Him, you will be like Him. So you'll get a body. We will have a body. And that's called the first resurrection. Well, isn't that an awesome thing? So the trumpet will sound. And that 1 Thessalonians 4 says the dead in Christ, well, they do, they rise first. Their spirits are with Him now. They're with the Lord now, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But when Jesus comes again, guess what they're going to get? You get a body. new body. Well, then there'll be people left here on the earth. And the Bible refers to them as those that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. There'll be a generation that doesn't experience physical death. Boy, I'd like to be in that one. But there'll be a generation that will not die. Those people that never die when Jesus comes. Look at verse 31. I get tore up when I read about it. I believe it. So let me read 30 and 31 again. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That's the rapture. That's when He's coming in the clouds. Just like 1 Thessalonians 4. Same thing. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. All the tribes of earth mourn. Why they mourn? Why is all the tribes of earth mourning? Yeah, they know judgment's coming. They know judgment's coming. And they know they're not ready. They know judgment's coming and they know they're not ready. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He'll send His angels with the great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together His elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. So that's the gathering day. It's a great the old timers, Jack, you say that's the happy reunion day. That's then. That's the sixth seal. That's what the sixth seal is all about. That's what that is. Before He drops His judgment in the seventh seal, we go out in the sixth one. We won't go through it. We won't go through it. Aren't you glad? I don't want to be here when all that hits. He'll get us out of there before it happens. I guarantee you that. All right, still in Matthew 24. Let's look down at verse 36. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour knows no man, not even the angels of heaven, but My Father only. The day and hour knows no what? How many believes that? How many believe tonight that the day and the hour knows no man? Would you raise your right hand? So how can I say this nice? So when these false prophets tell you He's coming next week, don't pay no attention to them. I guess eventually they'd hit it, but nobody knows the day and hour. There was a guy back in 1988 that wrote 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 88. And I come over to church that morning because back in they had about 20 people and the church was about three times more that day. You remember? Yeah. About three times more here that day. Now, we lost them all later when they seen He wasn't coming. About three times more was here that particular day. And they listened to a man. God told them the exact day and time. That's a lie. They don't know when. Nobody knows the day and the hour. Only the Father knows the day and the hour. And there'll come a day, beloved, when that last lost sheep is brought in the fold. And He knows who that is. That last lost sheep will come in. And He'll say, now go get your people out. And the King will come. And He'll bring our people that's there today. He'll bring our people that's there today with Him. And those that are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, they'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds and so to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be at the Lord. That's good hope through grace. That's good hope through grace. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 17. I had to do a lot of reading this evening because I got a lot to explain. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We want to look at verse 26. Now, I've given this to you a bunch of times in the past, but I want to remind you of it again. I think, do you got me? I think I'm pretty strong in my belief on this thing. I think when Jesus comes, that's the equivalent to the ark door shut. I think salvation is over then. I do. And here's one of the reasons I think that, and I want you to remember this too. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 17. It uses two examples. I actually got eight reasons for that, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm just going to use this one. God has done destroyed, had two previous destructions. We all know that, right? He destroyed the world by water, and then He destroyed two cities. I wiped them out. Sodom and Gomorrah, He destroyed by fire. So there's been two previous destructions that the Lord has done. Okay? Now I want you to notice this. And in the text, in the context of the text, it's talking about the second coming. Are you ready? Now I want you to get this. I want you to look at it. It says, but as it was in the days of Noah. See, N-O-E, it's just because it comes from the Greek. It's Noah. It's just a different spelling because it comes from a different language. But in the Hebrew, it's Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. I want you to get this. So shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink. Is that anything out of the ordinary? He's telling you it just looked like another day is what he's telling you. Oh, Noah was preaching, wasn't he? He was building that big, you know, big massive 450-foot ark. And people were probably coming and watching him build. And he would say, the book of Peter says he was a preacher of righteousness. So he would have said, listen, God's going to wipe this place out. God told me, I'm warning you now. You need to repent and get in this ark. Well, they probably thought he was nuts. It was millions. Some people say as many, I mean just millions of people on the earth at that time. Not just a few. But there's only eight people saved. Only eight. Watch this now. They did eat and drink and they married wives. This is just normal things. And they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came. And what did it do? Destroyed them all. In other words, now I want you to get the picture. Once Noah and his family were placed in the ark of safety, the Bible says, what did the Lord do? He shut the door. And once he shut the door, it was a week before the flood actually hit, if I remember right. There's a whole week that went by, and then all of a sudden, it started. Now remember, it wasn't just the rain that caused the flood. The Bible says the fountains of the deep broke up too. You talk about tsunamis. You talk about flood water. And you know how many people were saved? Eight. Eight souls were saved. Out of millions. Only those who by faith entered that ark. So there's been one previous destruction. That's destruction of the earth. Once Noah got in, the door was what again? It didn't open back up. Once he got in, boom, it was shut. Nobody got in then. Nobody got in. The other destruction was in the days of Lot. I mentioned it earlier, verse 28. We'll stop with this. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate and they drank, they bought and they sold, they planted and they built. Now what does that sound like to you? It just looked like another day. These are just common things that people do in a day, don't they? They work, they buy, they sell, they plant, they water. It just seemed like another day there in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. It looked like just another day. Nothing to indicate what was coming except for what maybe Lot might have said. But that same day, Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. The only ones that escaped that judgment was the ones that was taken out. That was Lot and his two daughters. Of course, his wife went out, but she looked what? She looked back and turned to a pillar of salt because her heart was still there. Three. Are you still with me? Verse 29. Verse 30 says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It's going to be the same way. He's going to come down and He's going to get His people out. You with me? He's going to get His people out. And then what's He going to do? He'll destroy them all. That's why you need to get in while the door is open. All God's people see it. That's the sixth seal. That's what it's speaking of. And we need to be ready for that. I hope you are. Aren't you glad there's a sixth seal? Aren't you glad you're ready to go up? Now what we're going to do next week is we're going to look at the seventh. We're going to start in on the seventh seal. No, I'm not. I can't start that next week. I was going to start on that, but what I want to do next week is look at Revelation 7. I want to look at the 144,000. I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to preach on that a little bit. We need to look at that. I think we really need to. So we're going to look at Revelation 7, and we're going to focus on the 144,000. Lord bless you this evening. I hope you did. I hope that's a blessing to you. I hope you're ready to go up. Let's all stand. Thank you.